Good morning. Morning. You think it's going to rain today? It may be a little cloudy and rainy outside, but we've got some sunshine going on in here today. And welcome, and if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. Today is Senior Recognition Sunday. There's an insert in your bulletin. They'll be recognized in the 10:45 celebration service. We're very proud of our youth. And I hope that you will say a word to them and encourage them. They've done a great job. They've been a very big part of the life of Asbury. And we love them and we celebrate with them. And we want them to know that no matter where they go in life, the Asbury family will always be with them. And they'll always have a home in that, at Asbury. So be sure and speak a word to our graduates. Vacation Bible School, June 22nd through the 25th. There's information in your bulletin about that. If you have friends or neighbors with children in this age range, invite them to be a part of this outreach program. Also, today at noon in the warehouse is liturgist training, and if you're interested in that, see Chase after the worship service. But a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and welcome one another. Be standing and join with me in the call to worship. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night.
You, O Lord, are exalted forever. It is good to praise your name, O Most High. Amen. Affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in your bulletin. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
morning. How are we this morning? That must be great this morning. All right. As many of you may not know, I like Diet Coke. And so something happened to me the other day that was really special. I had gone to McDonald's to get my Diet Coke, and I ordered it, and then I got up to the window to pay for it, and the person in line paid before me, in front of me, paid for my Diet Coke. I was shocked. I was like, okay, is that a church member? Because they know my car. It was somebody who just wanted to do an act of kindness for me. So what do you think I did? Do you think I just grabbed my Diet Coke and left? No, what do you think I did? I paid, but you know who I paid for? I paid for the first person behind me. So when they came up to the window to grab what they were going to get, do you think they had to pay? Do you think that the purpose is that they got a surprise that day, and then they would do something for somebody else, and it would go on, and it would go on, and it would go on? And you know what that is? That's a part of witnessing. Does witnessing, meaning or talking or doing nice things, does it always have to do something with God or with Jesus? Not necessarily. It may be that you decide, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to clean up my room for my mom. So when she comes and sees my room, it is super duper clean. And that doesn't mean putting everything in your closet. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the times that you can do something super special for somebody else. It may be a picture. It may be cleaning your room. It may be cooking breakfast for your mom's or your dad's with a little bit of help. So think about that, because you know what? We all need to do little acts of kindness for everyone, because you know what? It brightens everyone's day. All right, let's pray. Guide me, Lord, in what I say. Guide me in what I do, that all the world may see your love and see that I love you. Amen.
Thank you.
attention to the prayer concerns printed in our bulletin this morning. And we also want to remember Mary Jane Patton, who's having surgery at this time. And we want to remember our graduates in our thoughts and in our prayers. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, what a joyous time this is. Graduation. All the studying and the testing is paid off, and it's time for our graduates to begin a new journey. And there's excitement, as well as some anxious moments. And we are so proud of our young people for what they've accomplished and the potential they have for changing the world. We wonder, oh God, what discoveries they will make, what lives they will influence, and what leadership they will offer. But we also realize that at the end of the day, we know that it's not about making our mark, but pressing on to your mark. Grant them the gift of faith, the faith that will illuminate every season of challenge they face. Grant them a continued love for your word. May it be a guide for them in the days ahead. And today we also pray for tomorrow. This graduation opens another door to another time. And as you have led in the past, lead now into the future. Our prayer is and our hope is that they may be a light to this world and that their lives radiate your message of love and hope and joy. And we also offer to you our thanks and appreciation for the teachers, for all the years that they shared their knowledge and guided these students. And we pray for the parents as they make the transitions ahead. This morning, oh God, we lift to you our prayer concerns, those spoken and those that are in our hearts. And we ask for your strength and grace as we face the challenges of everyday living, the loss of loved ones, concerns about health. And we pray too for those who have faced disaster and the loss of property. Be their strength and comfort. And we thank you too for the blessings that you've given us. And forgive us for not always being mindful of the prayers that you've answered. But most of all, we thank you for the love of Christ that we share in this very room. And as we leave today, may we be even more committed to the cause of Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Yesterday was the Asbury Mission Day, and I am so appreciative of your support and the success that we had. Here in the Wilson Activity Center, homeless kits were prepared. Laura Stinnett and Claudette Serks coordinated that effort, and we appreciate them. The Arkansas Food Bank, Charles Glazier was the coordinator for that. The Salvation Army, Amy Bennett and our youth and several of the parents were there, and as they cooked and served the homeless. The Ozark Water Project that's sponsored by the Emmanuel class, I believe they collected 336 pounds of shoes. Is that correct? That's a whole bunch. So we're very proud of that effort. So thank you for being in mission and in outreach. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for allowing us to be in mission in your name through your church, helping your children. Bless our gifts, bless our efforts, but most of all, may we bring honor and glory to you. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for coming out on this rainy day to be gathered here and worship as we celebrate God and all that God does in our lives. Today is Ascension Sunday, and so let us now read our scripture passage, which comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear these words as they are read aloud. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. There was a college course that I took for my religious studies major called History of American Religion. And one of the requirements was for me to go to a different faith tradition, be it a different denomination or religion, and observe their service. Think about the different unique aspects of how they worship and observe the environment. And the church that I chose, I wanted to investigate more because it fascinated me, was the Orthodox Church. I had not heard a lot about that faith tradition, and so I was eager to go. And so it was on a Sunday morning. I headed out at about 7:30. I'd already gotten the address, and back then, their Siri did not exist. But we did have tom-toms as faithful guides. And so I plugged the address for the Antioch Orthodox Church into the tom-tom and started driving. And, you know, I didn't have much knowledge about the terrain of Little Rock. I'd been around the different exits on the interstates and gone to this restaurant or that. But in the different neighborhoods, I hadn't really explored a lot, so for the majority of my time, I was lost. However, I finally found my way to where the Antioch Orthodox Church was. And when I pulled into the parking lot, I was a little baffled. I was puzzled, and I checked the information on the internet and the TomTom, but it all collaborated. I was where I was supposed to be, but on the sign it said Missionary Baptist Church. And African Americans are gathering inside for worship, and I figure, well, I might as well do my report on this church. I'm here. I've had a frustrating morning already, so let's just go in and do it. But I happened to ask the first man I meet, did an Antioch Orthodox church meet here? Oh, yeah. A few months ago, we came into their church and they moved. And the transition of this did not get the information to the internet. And so here I was expecting this elaborate, high church, Orthodox service. And then we have this upbeat, gospel, Baptist church. It was puzzling. And it was weird because this was a time of great transition in the life of both of these churches. They hadn't done all the work that they needed to do to make sure they showed up to the right place. Transitions, adjustments, the in-between times. We have all experienced these, but the disciples here are going through that very thing. Jesus has just left them, gone up into heaven, and it's the first real time they're alone without Jesus before their whole ministry began. And now they have to wait these few days before Pentecost, and they don't even know what that is yet. They're caught in the in-between. They have to wait. What are some times where you've had transition in your life? You can think back and remember when you were a senior in high school and graduated, just like our seniors will do. And that summer before either college or the new job you received, it was an interesting time. Maybe you were really bored. Maybe it was the last big hoorah of the summer. But it's this weird time of not really knowing where you are and trying to prepare for the future you've been framed to go toward. Perhaps it's switching from one job to another. You understand all the responsibilities of your current job. You have it pretty well understood. And then you shift to this other job and you have to accommodate yourself to the expectations of the workplace and all that is under your belt. Or perhaps you're about to retire, partially. And there's this big time of transition where folks have to figure out how they will spend their retirement. Will it be this big dose of free time? They just go and do whatever? Or will it be like most folks who seem to work just as hard as they did before they retired in their retirement? I'm sure none of us in here can be with that. Transitions happen in our life, and they're odd to us, but they shape us too. What we can learn from the disciples is that they had to have the first experience of real and genuine faith. They didn't have Jesus right there next to them. But what they could remember was the experiences they had, the stories he shared, what he did with them. They remember about the mustard seed. They remember about Peter having enough faith to get out of the boat, but not quite enough to stay afloat. They remember the faith of feeding a multitude with a small amount. And most certainly, they have the faith to believe that life can come from death. This motivates them, don't you see? They can't help but be inspired, filled with passion and energy and excitement to do what it is Christ wants them to do. But here they are being forced to wait. How many of you like to wait? Jana can tell you by experience, I am the world's worst at waiting. I think Reverend Mary shared a couple weeks ago a statistic about waiting in line. It's an extremely high amount of time. Or waiting in traffic. God, is there nothing worse? Is there nothing worse? And of course, I know there's nothing I can do. But sometimes I dive into that negative energy, become bitter and angry and impatient. Waiting and waiting. In fact, some of us have even stood in a line for something we're eager to get to. Maybe it's food, maybe it's an amusement park ride, countless other things. And there's dozens of people in front of us. A half hour goes by, and only a few people have gotten through. And you've convinced yourself in your mind that it would be better to leave this line than to wait with whatever is at the end of that line. The excitement breaks apart. We don't like to wait. And especially in our society now of instant gratification. Fast food. Amazon Prime. We want things right now. But God wants us to wait at different times. Perhaps to test our patience. Perhaps we need to learn a little bit more. That time for the disciples was probably really important for them to really establish a sense of faith that Jesus wasn't right there next to them, so that the next part of their lives is filled with hope and joy and excitement with what awaits them. It's said that Mother Teresa, when she first heard that word from God to go into the slums of Calcutta and to help the sick and the dying, that it was years and years before she heard the voice of God again. Mother Teresa had to depend upon the faith of that moment, years past, to trust that God was still there with her, guiding, leading. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting on? Think closely about how yesterday we had a great day of mission. Our youth group, teenagers, got up before 5:30 to serve and cook breakfast to our homeless brothers and sisters. Dedication. There were others that served at the food bank or here with the homeless kits or the collecting of the shoes. What are we waiting on? Who are we waiting for? My brothers and sisters, the disciples had this interesting time of waiting between the ascension and Pentecost. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to give them the fire, the energy, the gifts, the power to go forth and do great things in the name of God. But what are we waiting for? That time of waiting is over. God wants nothing more than for us to take a step forward to serve God and to change the world. Perhaps it's not us waiting on God, but God waiting on us. When will we step out in faith? Think back in a time in your life where you had a great experience and you felt like you heard a word from God. Let that be your motivation for going forward, for pressing towards the goal of what God wants, the changing of this world into God's kingdom. We have a responsibility, but it's also a wonderful privilege filled with blessing. What are we waiting for? Let us stand up for Christ. Let us walk forward for Christ. Let us serve our brother and sister in the name of Christ. What are the excuses? And how could they be that good of an excuse? The dog ate my homework, doesn't work anymore. God wants you, 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 all of us here to step out in faith, step up and serve. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 529. If there are those that would like to unite with our congregation in any ways that we receive members or would like to have a time of prayer up front, we welcome you forward at this time. Go forth in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who guides you, leads you, and will always be with you as you serve out in faith. Take that step. Serve. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.